Well, it's lovely to see many of you that I know again, and it's lovely to be here, I think. So we're looking at what is God like. And our first session dealt with Isaiah 9:6, where Marilyn led us so wonderfully to see the mighty God. In this session, we're going to follow through that verse and we come to Everlasting Father. And I thought I'd take this little talk this morning under the following points. Firstly, Everlasting Father holding the whole world in his hands. He holds all. And then my Father holding me in his hand. He holds me. And then we'll move on to Everlasting Father, his powerful hand on all. And lastly, my Father, his powerful hand on me. As we look at these points, I thought we'd sprinkle it with verses from Isaiah, mainly from Isaiah 40. And also we're going to add a pinch of Hezekiah. Do you know Hezekiah at all? Well, you'll learn a little bit about him. So I'll have a pinch of Hezekiah just for a little bit of flavour. I've never agonised so long over a message. Do you know why? Because it just seems so big. And I just seem so small. And I can only touch a little bit on this subject that is so big it transcends even our understanding. To proclaim the bigness of our Everlasting Father would take 1,000 tongues, and I've only got one. Laurie thinks that's enough. But anyhow, and it would take such a long, long time that 1,000 dictionaries wouldn't take the words and they wouldn't be able to spell them. It's just so big. And so I thought my prayer this morning would be this: Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. A magnifying glass brings something close, very, very close. And so as we look at Isaiah 40, we will see the great, incomparable bigness of our Father and yet his closeness to each one of us. We'll see his magnificent dwelling place on high and yet his humble indwelling of each of us. We're going to see our Father's loftiness, and yet we can touch him. He's accessible to all of us. And I pray that because of this, our lives will be enlarged and we'll be brought closer to our Father, and that also as he enriches our lives, we might have the wonderful privilege of bringing him closer to one another. The Lord himself drew us out into the wonderful truth of God being our Father when he opened that prayer he taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. That's the happiest and most personal conception of God. Pagan religions don't know a God who is a loving heavenly Father. Marilyn told us this morning in a wonderful way how Jesus showed us Mighty God, our Father. No one had seen God at any time, we were reminded. What a wonderful revelation the Lord Jesus gave us of God, our Father, loving, compassionate, approachable. Sometimes during this weekend, there'll be some points which will be brought over and over again. Don't be amazed, because do you ever have to tell your children a few things over and over again? I pray that the message of his power in our lives will come through this weekend over and over again. Let us read Isaiah 40 first in verses 18, 20 and then 25 to 26. And you can stay in Isaiah 40 because that's just about where we'll be staying. It says, first in verse 18, To whom will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? So let us look first at how big he is, how incomparable our Everlasting Father is. Our Everlasting Father holding the whole world in his hand, Verse 25 says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each one by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." So let us think of his incomparable greatness. He is eternal, neither beginning nor ending, living and has always been. He's unchangeable, possessing all power, as we were told this morning. Our Father is present everywhere, one and at the same time, in the heavens and even in the depths, he is there. Don't you love Psalm 139? Nothing and no one is ever hidden from him. And he...
Would you please turn the tape over at this point?
Don't you love Psalm 139? Nothing and no one is ever hidden from him. And he has knowledge of them all. Then we can ponder on our Father's personality, for he is a person with feeling, knowledge and willpower. He is a spirit and so invisible. There's no God beside him. And in those verses we saw his great hand holding all this world. Even the stars are where they should be, because he's not got one even missing from that place that he put it. Our human reasoning doesn't have the capacity to understand. With a telescope, they think they're great. They see the things way out in space, but there's things they haven't seen. And God is there. He put them there. What about with a microscope? All the things that a doctor and everybody can see, but there's things they can't see. The little life pulsing that's unseeable, but God put that life there. He's given that life. Do you know, some snails have 135 rows of teeth located in their tongues, and each row contains 105 teeth. I've got this written down, otherwise I would have brought a calculator. This comes to a total of 14,175 teeth. We had a snail in our letterbox once, and Telecom wouldn't believe what had happened to their bill. See how quickly they can eat up things? God did that. I suppose someone counted them. I didn't think of that. Well, creation certainly praises our Father's greatness, doesn't it? The mountain peak, and yet the tiny little mauve edging a curling petal of a carnation. The wonderful legs in a kangaroo. But what about the little tickle of a ladybird climbing as you lift it out to the garden? Our Father, his greatness is so incomparable. And so we consider together today our Father's greatness and bigness. He's perfect. He's true. He's incorruptible. Now let us, as we magnify him together, think of his hand reaching down to each one of us in love and mercy. Yes, he was the Father of our Lord Jesus, but we can call him our Father too. We can say, "My Father," if we are his child. So let's look at my Father holding me in his hand. I teach scripture 2 days a week at 2 schools, many classes, many children. And it's from an area of Campbelltown where there's a lot of single parent homes. And I look at those little ones and I think of them. For many of them, they haven't got a father. For many of them, they've got fathers that walk in and out. Some of them got a natural father and an unnatural father, and some of them, and you know, they've got every type of father or no father that you can think of. They've got a stepfather, visiting fathers. I feel very sad for them. When we sing God Loves You and I Love You, do you know that beautiful little song? I get the children to hug themselves very, very tight, and we just stop for a little hugging moment, hoping that it will imprint on their hearts and lives the tight hold of love their Heavenly Father has on them, encircling them with love, holding them with strength and protection, which they don't have, providing all their needs, which often aren't provided at home, never, ever leaving them. Oh yes, our Father is our own personal Father, provider, sustainer, protector, our all in all, and always, always there. Let us look again in chapter 40 and verse 11. And it says in that verse, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Isn't this wonderful? He holds me in his hands, in his arms, and carries me close to his heart. I wonder if we can all say today, "My Father." We thought of our Father's greatness. Now see his mighty hand reaching out to hold us. In Isaiah 49, no need to turn to it, and verse 16 it says, "I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." These verses were, of course, verses given through Isaiah to God's people. But they're ours today, because we're one of God's people. And that's a wonderful promise. Often we lose sight of just how precious we are to God. To be graven on the palms of his hands suggests the closeness, identification with him that we could have. Isn't that precious? He's also always mindful of us. You see, he sees us in his hand. He lifts his hands, we're there. And it can never be removed. Made me think of a tattoo. I don't know whether that's really good. I don't like tattoos. But see how it can never, he's graven us on his hand. So mindful of us. Our Father who is so perfect and holy. Well, okay, our Father who is so holy and righteous and perfect, so pure. How can he love us like that and even hold us, mindful of us, in the palm of his hand when we're so sinful, so imperfect, so unholy? Well, to understand this love, we have to look at the cross of Calvary again. Our Father does hate sin, but he loves the sinner. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, God dealt with sin. It was punished. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he showed his love for the sinner. So they were both there together. God dealt with sin, and the sinner could be accepted into God's family. Father and child. You all know very well Isaiah 53 and verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray, we've all turned to our own ways. And the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all." You see, God is a balanced being, holy, just, loving, merciful. Last night I carried two suitcases. One in this hand and one in that hand. First time in my life I was a balanced being. But, you see, holiness, righteousness, love and mercy. God is a balanced being. Many people today have a lopsided view. Some overemphasise his love and forget that he is just and holy. And some overemphasise his righteousness and forget that he's reaching out in love. The love of God allows him to forgive the sin and accept the sinner. The holiness of God demanded that sin must be punished. So So one of the greatest marvels of our time is not the snail's teeth, but that God found a way to have us in his family, father and child, that both satisfied his holiness and his love. Our Father is also jealous. And his people in Isaiah's time forgot that. You see, he loves us, but he wants us to love him in return. How sad it is that so many people spurn this love, ignore it, reject it. And as a result, one day they're going to face the punishment which they need never have faced because the Lord Jesus took it all. Isaiah recorded his words. They were from God, as a message from God for his people in Judah. In those days, Israel was split. There was Israel in the north, one kingdom, and Judah in the south. And God's heart, their father's heart, was aching. He kept on wanting them, seeking them, yearning for them, but he spurned them, both in the north and in the south. And Isaiah gave him this wonderful message right through his book. It was a message warning them of judgment of sin, but also gave them a promise of future restoration. Told them about captivity, but it also told them about a return. Isaiah told them about the future coming of the Lord of salvation. And it also told them about all of future glory for his people. One of the kings, now we're getting to our pinch of Hezekiah. One of the kings was Ahaz. He was very wicked. And Isaiah preached in his time. And Isaiah had a son who was Hezekiah. When I was a young girl, used to be people would say, oh, look up Hezekiah chapter so-and-so, which was a bit of a trick because there isn't a book, Hezekiah, but I'm glad I had the chance to get to know him a bit better. You see, Hezekiah loved God and followed God's will, and he was a good king, and he tried to reform the people and tried to encourage them to turn back to God. Yes, Hezekiah could call God his father. Hezekiah showed his love and obedience in his life, and because of his faith, he was counted as a child of God. God is the creator of all, but only the father of those that are in his family. A child is born into a family, and so our Father gives life to us, new spiritual life, that moment that we are born into his family. The birth takes place the moment we thank the Lord Jesus for dying for us, paying that punishment we were talking about that had to be paid for sin. We ask for forgiveness. We thank God for the Lord's death on our behalf. He accepts us into his family. In that moment, the Holy Spirit enters our life and we are given new life, linking us into God's family, father and child forever. Our Father is so patient, so long-suffering. You see, he kept on seeking and seeking and seeking those people in Isaiah's time, and they wouldn't listen. Perhaps there's someone today here, and the Father so patiently has been seeking, seeking, seeking. Because when he brings you into his family, you're close to his heart forever, in his hands. You can read about Hezekiah if you want to. Here's another pinch. In chapters 36 and 39 of Isaiah when you get home, you will see him, just like any father's child, fearing, doubting, but at other times, faith and strong. There'll be times when he falls and flounders. His father picks him up again when he turns to him. But he's always being carried in his father's loving hands. In the chapters preceding those, that little bit on Hezekiah, Isaiah's message was one of prophecy. Then that little bit on Hezekiah, Isaiah's message was historic, about a king. And then the beautiful chapters afterwards that we were in, that starts with chapter 40, hold all the promises of the Messiah's coming. Let's think of his beautiful love for us. Isaiah 46 verses 3 and 4 says this, I have cared for you from the time you were born. I am your God and will take care for you until you are old and your hair is grey. I made you and will take care of you. So I will give you help and rescue you. 54 and verse 10 says this, the mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. See how great our Father's love is for us. See also how great his forgiveness is. How about this verse in chapter 43? I'll just read it to you. I am the God who forgives your sin, and I will do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. So he is so ready to forgive us. He doesn't want anyone to be punished. Someone who rejects this, unfortunately, automatically chooses that punishment. God's way to have us in his family was at the price of sacrificing his own son. How about Isaiah 53, bruised for us, crushed for us, pierced for us, wounded for us. Our Father's love seeks and seeks us and accepts us just as we are. It's not a love which wants us to change. Some people get a lopsided view. They think they've got to change and be good enough. God's love's bigger than that. You see, we accept God's love and then he changes us. Isn't that wonderful? Why don't we bask in that love today? And our Father never tires of us. The number of times I've said to my boys, just a minute, in a minute, hoping that they'd forget when the minute was up. He never tires of us. And the tie between us, Father and child, can never be broken. Always family. We may sneak away from him, but he never leaves us. There's always a place close to his heart waiting for us to return. We have a son who over a number of years has been in big problems. But I said to that son, David, your room is always here. Because I knew for that son that as the years roll by, and they're still rolling by, that child needs to know that there's a place close to our heart and in our home always for him. I've got four sons. One boy sleeps in that room now, but that's all. His clothes aren't there. David's things are still there. Our Father's heart is even bigger than... Oh, it's big. And when we sneak away from him, turn our back on him, there's a place close to his heart waiting for us to come back. What wonderful forgiveness. Our Father provides all we need, all our needs. He wants to lavish on us. What do you need today? Peace, patience, strength, stickability, courage, contentment. That's a good one for women. For me. I bought a present for myself. It's nice to do that sometimes. It was a holiday present for myself at Christmas. A little cup and saucer cost $3. Holly Hobby it was. And it says on it, fill each day with happy moments. Well, when I look at the fill each day, I change that, you see, and I say, I turn it into a prayer. Fill this day, Lord, with all the things that you want to give me that I need today. Patience. Oh boy, there's a whole heap of them. I fill that cup up each day and I look to the Lord to give me my need each day. Perhaps there's some other thing that you've been praying for that you think you need. We've got a very wise Father. It tells us in the Bible that he won't withhold any good thing from us. So if he's holding it back for a little while, it's not good for us yet. Okay? Might not even be good. You know, children, they want candy and all the rest of it.
not good for them.
The emptier something is, the fuller it can get. It's not a good word, but isn't that wonderful? He knows best. So if there's some big emptiness in your life, give him the opportunity to fill it. We heard this morning, the weaker we are, the bigger we can prove God's strength. Our strength, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our all. All things are in his control. Our Heavenly Father, our everlasting Father, is never taken by surprise. So he can provide all that we need, physically, spiritually, emotionally. As you read for the Bible, you find sometimes he prepared a whale, sometimes he prepared a wind. He had just the right answer for just the funny need. A whale to swallow you? Oh, perhaps. Doesn't it fill your heart with worship then, as we look so closely together at his greatness and his great love for us? You know, his great love is shown magnificently too when he tells us that he sees even a sparrow fall. Now, if it was a peacock, we could understand, but a cheap, common, old sparrow? What about a look at the Lord Jesus? He went a long way to help a maniac living in a pigsty, more or less. You know that man that was living and all the pigs went into the water. And Lord Jesus went out to reach him. You see, he sees us all, accepts us all, loves us all. So what is your response to this great, great love of our everlasting Father? Can you say, my Father? Can you rejoice today that he's holding you because you're in his family? You've been born again into God's family. I trust our hearts will be full of gratitude. You see, Israel didn't show any gratitude. Judah didn't show any gratitude. Isaiah says Judah was showing no gratitude. Lack of gratitude hurts us, doesn't it? How glad we are for that little word, thank you. Could save a marriage. Really. How glad our Heavenly Father would be today if we poured out our thanks to him. Here's another pinch of Hezekiah. You see, in chapter 38 of Hezekiah, he was so grateful for God's goodness that he said he would praise God privately before his children and publicly in the temple. This was his response in verses 16 and 17. Lord, I will live for you alone. I was challenged one day. One of my boys read a book about God and his wonderful provision for a person over in America. And he said, wow, the things that God did for that person. And I suddenly thought, that in all our long lives, Laurie's and mine, proving God's goodness, that sometimes we hadn't shared with the children quite often what he was doing. Let's praise him publicly. Privately, too. Let's move on to our everlasting Father and his powerful hand on all. God is the God of creation. He's not limited or controlled by his creation. He controls it. His hand is on all. Remember the Lord Jesus when he stilled the storm? They said he commanded even the winds and the waters and they obeyed him. Isaiah 40, in looking at verses 22 to 24, says this. He sits above the circle of the earth and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. They'd get a surprise, wouldn't they? No sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Politics are very interesting. There's people being swept away like chaff every minute. How wonderful to know that he is in control of all. His hand controls the world, the world's leaders, the world's events. What a wonderful Father. Sometimes we forget. We can easily see his majestic power in the tides rushing in, but we don't easily recognise that same power working in a little bud that quietly brings it to open. We can see his wonderful power so much all around us. There's a verse in Isaiah 45 and verse 15 which says this: "Truly, you are a God who hides himself." This means that God is mysterious. We can see him working in the great things, but he's working silently in the other things too, guarding the offices of our nations, quietly changing summer into autumn, as we see the results, don't we? Our Father's powerful hand is on all. Have you ever heard the beautiful chorus that we taught children once at a girls' club camp? This is what it is: "My God is bigger than I am, strongest of all. He is able to make the summer turn into fall. He controls all that happens. His power is plain to see. And I know I can trust him, for with his power he cares for me." And that takes us to our last point. My Father, his powerful hand on me. The last part of that chorus said this: "I know I can trust him, for with his power he cares for me." I know I can trust him. Right now, in the middle of whatever's happening, his power cares for me. Isaiah 40 and well-known verses as we move to verses 28 down to 31. "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will never grow tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait in the Lord," I like the King James there, so I've mixed it up a bit. "Those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Now I'm going to move into chapter 41 and verse 10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." That's King James again. That just happened. "I will hold you with my righteous right hand." Our Father has no human frailties, never weary. We feel weary. Well, when we're feeling weak and weary, let's do what Marilyn told us this morning and what I'm reminding you of right now. Wait on him, and he will give us his power and we'll become strong. The Hebrew word for renew, and in the King James Version it says he will renew your strength, means to change. And so God's strength is changed for our weakness, and we have strength to rise above the harassment. Well, I wonder if there's a worry or a problem in your life, and I wonder if you've trusted it to him. Our dog Archie is a lovely dog, an unknown pedigree, but very special to us. When he was still young, he followed one of the boys to a suburb, two suburbs away from us, and I was frantic. Laurie was away, and the night became dark, and there was a storm coming. Got in the car, searched and called. No Archie. At midnight, the thunderstorm broke, and Archie hates thunderstorms. Did I tell you that? Well, he does. Hates thunderstorms. And at 1 o'clock, I made some coffee and prayed for Archie. And at 2 o'clock, I heard a little rustle of leaves on a creeper we have on our back veranda. There was a wet, bedraggled Archie rubbing his wet back on my creeper. I wept too, and I cried in happiness. Archie knew where to come home, and some of us stupid people don't know where to go home in our storms in life, and we don't trust and wait for our Father, do we? He was frightened, and even though it meant going through a storm, he got home. Hezekiah trusted God too when Jerusalem was going to be attacked, and he saw God save the city. You know, later on though, he forgot and decided he'd turn to Egypt for help. You see, we're all mad, aren't we? We see our Heavenly Father help us in one storm, another one comes along and we forget. But anyhow, but wonderfully, he remembered. Because in chapter 37, he realised his mistake. And he took this threatening letter that had been sent from the king of Assyria and spread it all out before God in the temple. And he just showed God how he was trusting him in every word of that awful letter. It tells us in those chapters that he wanted God to answer this prayer, answer this terrible letter. Why? Because he prayed that all the nations would know that God was God alone when they saw the great deliverance. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful in our storms in our life when God delivered us, people said, wow, God is God alone. Gave him all the glory. Well, the prayer was answered and the Assyrians were defeated. Later on, in chapters 38 and 39, old Hezekiah, I forget how old he was, but he was about to die. And he prayed and asked for an extension of time. Can you believe it? He was given 15 years. God even made the shadow move backwards on the temple stairs. So Hezekiah, in these pinches we've had, we've seen that in life's battles, sickness, death, frightening foes, or whatever you know, he faced it with his Father's power and strength. His faith was strengthened in those problems too when he turned home for help. He expected help. Archie never quite knows when I'm going to give him his breakfast, but he knows I'll give it to him. And he waits at the back door on the veranda. Ears pricked, he just hears the tiniest little footsteps in the kitchen. And, wow, and he turns around in circles. If you're praying for God's help, expect, like Archie, ears pricked, see what God can do. Well, is there anything you're finding too heavy? Even in that, he's holding you, he can strengthen you. Your trouble may not disappear, and often they don't, but the promise is in those verses that you will soar above it with wings of eagles if you turn to him, leave it to him, wait for him. We've got instant access into our Father's presence with these needs. We are family. A border in your home, you try to make them feel at home, don't you? But sometimes they can feel they might intrude, hesitate. You see, they're not family. And even though you bend over backwards, but we are family, father and child, instant access into his presence. We belong. There's nothing too great for his power and nothing too small for his love. Now, even if it's a little thing, nothing too small for his love. How disappointed we'd be if our children or people in our care turned to someone else for help instead of to us. Hezekiah did later on. I've got all these later ons and afters are mixed up. But if you want to read about Hezekiah, you'll sort them all out. And up in the north, Israel, boy, they even turned to idols. We delight in evidences of growth in our children, don't we? Or in young people that we've seen grow up around us. Little children, wow, 5 teeth. And later on, 5 feet. I don't mean 5 feet, I mean 5 feet. So we love to see that that growth, don't we? Our Heavenly Father delights in evidence of growth in his children. You know, it takes a lot of different seasons to bring fruit trees and other things to maturity. A lot of climatic conditions, summer, autumn, spring, even winter has a place to play. How about the roses that need a little bit of a rest for a while? In our lives rattling on, joy, sorrow, sunshine, shadow, but we're growing through it all. And the shadow times are just as necessary. Probably we grow more then than we ever knew. And we prove that greater than the pain that pulls us down is the power that lifts us up. A child grows intellectually through teaching, and we soak up our Father's teaching, his words, how precious. And they're words that are going to last forever and ever, never wither or fade away. Timeless words. And do you know what? When you look for a word from your Father, it'll be a timely word too. Just the one you need. Let us grow. We see changes in ourselves physically, don't we? When we're growing, and even when we stop growing, we start disintegrating. More changes. But what about the changes that are taking place in our characters? God's transforming power brings so many changes in the world about us, and he is transforming us too. Remember the common water that the Lord changed into wine? And so, with just a touch or a trial, he's transforming us into what? A family likeness. That's what it's all about. Growing more in our faith. Growing more like the Lord Jesus. A family likeness. So let us trust him more and allow his Holy Spirit to work in every part of our lives for his glory. We see all through the scriptures that God was pleased to use ordinary people. Fishermen, whatever. And he wants to transform us, ordinary people, into something beautiful as we grow more and more like the Lord Jesus. Perhaps there's somebody in your family or in your acquaintance who you're aching to see the transforming power of God. There is in our family. We're told to train up a child in the way that he should go. Fill the water pot with water. He'll transform it into wine. Wait. Leave it to the Lord. He does the transformation. Our Father looks for obedience in us as we look for obedience in our children. Physical appearance, as stunning as it might be, is not worth a crumpet. Our obedience to him, our Father really wants. The Father's heart was saddened as he saw these people suffering in Judah in Isaiah's time. It was all brought about by their disobedience. They often blamed God for their troubles, but it was their disobedience. I had some African violets and I wanted them to bloom in the family room where everyone could see them. But see, my mother had said they would only bloom on the east side of the house. That's where the bedrooms are. Thought, no way. I want everybody to see it. They never bloomed. I moved them into one of the boys' bedrooms. They're blooming. No one can see it. But see, we will bloom in the right place. We must be obedient. God has a place for us. Let us be obedient to him and we'll find we're blooming, really blooming. Is your place small? Tend it with care. He placed you there. Be obedient. how sad we are when we have to discipline our children. This is part of our Father's love too, discipline. We see in God's dealings with Judah and Israel that discipline was a very important part of his great love. You see, unless the spark of rebellion was just smothered, it would set off a great big forest fire. We are told in the Bible that when there are times of discipline in our lives, it's proof of our Father's love. What was the purpose of discipline? To bring them back into that relationship, father and child, close again. Our Father doesn't want spoilt children. Have you ever looked at a spoilt child? They are spoilt, aren't they? Everything that they could have been, spoilt. His love is not showered on us without also his righteousness. And there we have the balance again. Discipline, yes. Sin separates us. We ask for forgiveness. Close again. He never moved. We did. So in summary, our everlasting Father looks on us today, his children. What does he see? Does he see us as a child in his family, part of his family, born again? Does he see our hearts overflowing with love and gratefulness? Does he see a simple, childlike faith as we just put our hand in his and give him all our cares, large and small? Does he see us changing and growing more like the Lord Jesus? Does he see in us a family likeness? Isaiah 53 and verse 8 says this, he will look at his offspring, thousands of children down through the centuries, and he will be satisfied. Satisfied because he sees in us the light of life after all the suffering that his son had to go through. May we each one today leave this auditorium clinging fast to our Father's hand and finding bigger than we ever knew that his right hand has tight hold on us.